This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, as we're just hearing from Habib Frost, the area of health biotech is certainly one of the hotbeds of innovation at the moment. My next guest is at the pioneering edge of that, Kim Hewlett, who's CEO and chief researcher at Next Biosciences, which is here in Midrand. In fact, just a stone's throw from Kyle Army. Kim, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, and thank you for having me, Michael.
Now, I had you on the show a couple of weeks ago, but just for those listeners who might not have been tuning in on the night, Next Biosciences, a biotech firm that is really at the embryo, so to speak. What is it that you do?
I love that. Can I use that?
You can pinch it.
Thank you. We are really involved with anything from preconception to post-birth. So we deal with people along the pregnancy and reproductive journey, and we provide technologies around genetic testing of embryos as well as stem cell banking once the baby's been born. And then we do something completely different to all of that, but by collecting placental birth material, we can make some medical products.
And that's, you know, if you've ever been through the process and they say, do you want some of the cord blood or the stem cells, and we can freeze it because you might be able to use it in future, that future is today. Because of the strides we've made in genetics, one of the big buzzwords around here has been the CRISPR technology that we've seen develop over the last few years. How do you describe CRISPR if you were to meet someone on the street who's never heard of the technology before? What is it?
Very simply, and I can describe it in one sentence. So CRISPR technology, okay, is genetic editing technology, and it utilizes a bacteria called Cas9. It's a bacterial protein, and it acts like a pair of molecular scissors, goes into your DNA, cuts out the error, and fixes it. Simple as that.
Now, what has that meant in terms of medical breakthroughs? What has that given us as a species in terms of tools to now alter our genetic makeup and the potential genetic makeup of future generations?
This is the whole issue. So whilst genetic editing is acceptable, look, we still got a long way to go, let me just tell you that, in adults, to fix a debilitating disease, people are happy with that. But germline engineering, which is biologist jargon for editing egg, sperm, or embryos, is a completely different story, because by editing the genetics of an embryo, it is possible to pass those genetic fixes on to future generations. And that's the controversy, because you don't know, by editing one thing, you're inadvertently causing other issues.
Exactly, the unintended consequences of that might be. And there are millions of different combinations that we're talking about here, so all sorts of ethical questions that are facing the industry. Back to what you're doing at the moment, and you mentioned something very interesting in your talk, IVG, in vitro gametogenesis, I think it's called. Did I get that?
It's a mouthful, but you got it very well.
So what is that? Because it's being billed as the next frontier in reproductive medicine.
So what this basically does is scientists are learning to convert skin cells into stem cells and reverse engineering that into lab-grown egg and sperm.
Wow. So in effect, you don't necessarily have to have either in order to have a child.
Correct. But this is a very future reproductive health technology. So don't get too excited yet, but it is incredible to think that in the future, you could have two men that can have a baby that's biologically related to both of them by taking skin cells from the one, creating an egg, and fertilizing it with sperm from the other.
Wow, that is at the cutting edge of what we're able to do. It means two men, two women, two men and three women. Who knows?
You know, any combination.
Any combination is now possible in this new future that we're creating right now. How are you currently using this biotechnology to help South Africans today? Because it does sound very futuristic. It also sounds very expensive.
So where we are utilizing genetic testing today is for couples that have undergone IVF and they've created embryos. At the moment, well, how it's always happened is the fertility doctor would just choose an embryo, it's kind of potluck, and transfer it. And what we now are doing is to help minimize the risk of having a miscarriage or baby with a serious genetic disorder by screening those embryos to ensure that they choose the healthy ones.
Right. So it really boils down at this stage to screening. I see some of your offerings our cancer screening. That certainly jumped out at me when I was scrolling through the website. What does that involve?
So we don't do that exactly. It's just people have come to us and asked for that specific screening, and we outsource that test, as we've very much focused on the reproductive genetic area.
Okay, so that's certainly not an area of sort of core competency. It does raise all sorts of ethical questions for me when I look at something like that. You know, if an insurance company were to start requesting these sorts of screens before they'd insure you, for example, what are the sort of ethical questions that you're seized with as a practitioner in the field and also as a businesswoman?
I think right now at the moment, the biggest issue is around genetic screening of embryos and coming along, gee, are you playing God? We shouldn't be doing that. And the fact is, if you're looking at embryos, why would you not choose the embryos that are genetically healthy? And that's where we are. We're only in the selection of embryos for disease. But this is like the start of the slippery slope, because when we move on from there, you are now going to be looking to test embryos for traits. We're not even talking about genetic editing of embryos. We're not even there yet, nowhere near that.
It's just testing to see whether or not the possibility exists. And in your presentation, you did say that it is the whole nature versus nurture debate here.
Correct.
And the science indicates that the environment in which you're raised really has the biggest bearing on the outcome of who you become at the end of the day. So it isn't an exact science.
Correct. It's not easy to predict. So we focus so much on the genetics. And as we've seen through the study of identical twins, genetics are only responsible for 20 to 30% of whom we become.
Kim, great pleasure chatting to you as always. Take care.